A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Basically been prepping for the game anyways, and got a good jump start on it. I think we've got a mixture of what we're doing in camp and also scouting Utah. So that's, I don't know if there's an official like bell to be rung when you break camp, but yeah, I think this is we're kind of transitioning now to getting ready for the game.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy to have you on board to the podcast. Once again, that voice you heard coming in, BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. And yes, game prep is on, folks. Now, I know fall camp officially ends tomorrow with the final scrimmage of camp at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Just a note, it's closed to the public. So if you're trying to think you can go to that scrimmage, don't bother. It's closed. Not even the media can go to it. We're going to be getting interviews after the scrimmage, but it's closed. So just a heads up there if you're wanting to check out that scrimmage Wednesday afternoon at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Again, thank you to you, the listener, for checking out this podcast, Cougar Tracks, your source for all things BYU in the podcasting space. And make sure to check out KSLSports.com on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And also follow me on Twitter as well, at Mitch_Harper. A lot to get to on today's episode of the podcast. Just 9 days away till BYU kicks things off against the University of Utah. We catch up with BYU safeties coach Preston Hadley. Talked with Coach Hadley about a variety of topics. How's life as a married man now? We hit on that, balancing coaching and marriage. His thoughts on the safeties, Austin Lee, the battle at strong safety, and maybe the similarities that this defense has to 2012, the defense that he was on as a senior that ended up being the third total defense in college football that season. Also on the program, the new KSL Sports Edition. KSLSports.com digital producer Kyle Ireland hops on, and Kyle has deep roots to BYU, has a background with BYU broadcasting. We discuss a bunch of different things as far as storylines coming out of camp. He's been going down to BYU practices for his previous employer, but now he's here at the legacy home of the BYU Cougars, KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com, specifically KSLSports.com. So a great show for you. Got to get to first thing, though, Eric Mika. Former BYU basketball star Eric Mika signs a deal with the Sacramento Kings. And I got to say, I'm so happy for Eric Mika. That guy, to me, is one of the best BYU big men in program history. And it was a shame that he left early. But the thing is that when he left, he was a 20-10 guy. And you kind of wondered, does he have much more to prove at BYU? Honestly, I didn't think he did. You know, it would have been nice had he stayed and played another 2 years, because his senior season would have been this past season. And you got to think, the 19-win campaign Dave Rose went through in his final year as the head coach of the Cougars would have been a lot different with a big man like Eric Mika handling the post. But that's neither here nor there. It's worked out for Eric Mika as he goes to Italy the last 2 years and does his thing. He's grinding and working his way to improve his game. Now he's got a contract with the Sacramento Kings. Now, the terms of the deal were not disclosed, but it sounds like it's going to be an Exhibit 10 contract, which basically means he's guaranteed a spot in training camp, could end up being a two-way guy potentially, but he's going to get a guaranteed salary this year. If he stays, you know, in the G League with maybe the Sacramento Kings affiliate, He's going to get a signing bonus around 50, 60,000 somewhere in there, but he's getting a chance. A franchise believes in Eric Mika, and I'm so happy for him because I really thought he was one of the best big men the program has ever produced. I mean, go back through time, the BYU big men that have come through, and very few to me are better than Eric Mika. Mika was a stud. That guy was fantastic, and I'm excited that he's getting his chance in the NBA. He was really good in the summer league, had some highlight plays, some, you know, sports center worthy dunks. He was making plays out there, but more importantly, he was good on the defensive end, cleaning up on the glass, and the Kings desperately need big guys. They need that depth, and he's going to have a chance to maybe make that roster, maybe. Still a long shot, but hey, there's some investment being placed in Eric Mika, and that's a positive sign. So congrats to Eric, and also congrats to Kai Nakua. On the football side, he signed a deal with the Indianapolis Colts. He's going to get a chance to be with the Colts and Andrew Luck and that whole organization, a really good organization. The Colts are a fantastic franchise to be with. They're a lot better than my Oakland Raiders. The Raiders are an absolute dysfunctional mess, but that's neither here nor there. So congrats to all the former Cougs making some money, getting paid, and getting opportunities in the professional sports that they're in. But now we've got to take a quick timeout. On the other side, get to the interview I had with BYU safeties coach Preston Hadley here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
BYU Football Fall Camp, KSL News Radio, KSLSports.com. Mitch Harper here now with BYU safeties coach Preston Hadley. And coach, how is juggling now, you know, coaching plus married life been for you? It's your first year, first season of being a married man.
Hey, my wife's a real MVP. Yeah, every coach can say it. No, she's good. She's been really patient and has embraced just the uniqueness of the coaching world. So she's been great. She's been super patient, and it's been fun. So easy transition for me.
What have you learned about your safety position room that maybe you didn't know coming into fall camp?
Man, some of the younger or more inexperienced guys have really stepped up and are finding themselves a role. Bo Tanner in particular, I think he's been in our position group the surprise of the camp. So that adds depth, and I mean, he's pushing those guys. I mean, it's the strong safety spot is still open right now, and he's inserted himself in the mix.
So. And he's battling with Sawyer Powell, Malik Moore, and
Sawyer and Malik and Bo Tanner are the three in the mix. You'll probably see all three of them at different points in the season. You know, I mean, when or how or what role, you know, we'll find out each week based on the game plan and what other teams are doing. But it's good. It's a good problem to have. Each of them bring different strengths, and it's good. I think all three have done a good job. So it's going to be it's a good problem to have as a coach, but it's difficult to manage. But you know, it's what we do.
Whenever I think Bo Tanner, I think of speed and his athleticism. I mean, what was his story getting back on the football team? Because he's had a few times where he maybe has taken time off and then rejoined. What was kind of the conversation like with you to get him back on the team?
Well, with Bo, I think one of the things that he has going for him is he's experienced the end twice, you know. And so anytime you've experienced like the end of football, like I did myself at one point in my career, and that motivates you. And then to have for whatever reason to have experienced it twice, I think just you're playing for something, you know. And he's done a good job this camp fighting. You know, he's got a point to prove. And so he had approached me in the summer and said, "Hey, I'd like to try and play safety. I think I can compete." And I was like, "Hey, like in life, sometimes we need two, three, or four chances, you know." And so, That's something I believe. I had coach that I played for who gave me multiple chances, and so I think it was the right thing to do. And with, you know, along with Kalani and the other defensive coaches, I think it was great by them to endorse that. And so he's going to help our team. You know, I don't know yet in what role or anything, but yeah, he's a great combination of speed and athleticism, and he has a great ability to cover in man coverage. And so I think he'll be able to have a very unique role in helping our defense. And dude, he's actually a very physical kid, like to the point where like I'm worried he's gonna hurt himself sometimes, you know. So we just gotta continue to help him manage that and be physical in the right ways. So I'm really excited about his potential.
Talking with safeties coach Preston Hadley here on KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com on the free safety spot. I don't think Cougar fans know enough respect enough how good Austin Lee is. Can you speak to Austin's abilities and how he's looked in fall camp? Because he was out during spring ball.
Yeah, I think if you just look at the improvements that we made from a year ago, I think a lot of it is it's a credit to the guys who are in there. So like Austin Lee, when he took over as the starting free safety, and he, I think he elevated the play of our defensive backfield. I think we jumped like, I don't know, 100 spots in total pass defense. I think the facts are there, and not to mention all the stuff that he does behind the scenes, you know. And Austin, he's a humble guy, and he's not going to go around parading around about what he does. But he's a great leader for our team. He's a great playmaker. He's a very good athlete. I think he's very underestimated in his athleticism. And, again, he plays with a purpose because he's another guy who's been through some stuff just to get here, just to be here, you know. And so those types of players who have experienced those things are dangerous. And so I think Austin Lee is a very dangerous man, and he plays with a lot of intensity and a lot of anger in his soul, which is good to see out of your free safety.
Who are some of the guys behind him that are, you know, kind of maybe competing for that number two and number three, rounding out the depth chart?
Hayden Livingston and Austin Kafensis. So both of them bring a different skill set, and it's still, you know, that backup's free safety spot is still up for grabs. And again, just the guy who's overall the most consistent, most productive is going to win that spot. But we're going to need him. You know, you saw in games last year the importance of depth. And so right now our emphasis is developing the guys who are in the two or three stop and really spot and really shrinking that gap between those guys. And those guys are an important part of our team. So that's the emphasis right now.
When you dig into the numbers from last year's defense, I think on surface level people just think, oh, it's just the cliche bender, but don't break. But then you dig into the numbers, and this was a top 25 defense nationally last season, and you were part of a great defense as a player back in 2012. Do you see any similarities between or characteristics between your 2012 defense and what you've seen thus far in camp this year?
That's a tough question to answer, to be honest. I think the game's just different now.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, 7 years and how it's evolved.
Yeah, man, 7 years sneaks up on you, you know. But, no, I think the game was just different. We didn't face as much spread RPO stuff and up-tempo. You know, when I was playing, we were defending 65, 70 plays a game. Now guys can, you know, defend over 100 snaps a game. That's an extra quarter of defense, you know. And so But I think just the similarities, I thought in 2012 we had great leadership from the players, and I think you see it out here. Guys like Zane Anderson, Isaiah Kafusi, Austin Lee, I think those guys, Diane Gongwalku, like there's great leadership on every level. And I think that's an ingredient that great teams all have in common. And so also like just the physicality and the conscientiousness of the team. And I think this team, this defense and this team really loves each other. And, there's a lot of camaraderie. Like one of our competitive advantages that Kalani always talks about is team chemistry. And it's like family, team chemistry. It's something that every program talks about, but it's something that we're actually trying to – it's an action word, right? It's a verb, and it's something that we are trying to be very intentional about in building the culture. So there's some good qualities. Again, I think we're, you know, just those are different times. Again, love my brothers from 2012, and we did some stuff that I'm still proud of, you know. Again, tough to draw those comparisons, but I really like I really like who's on the field right now.
In what area do you think you've grown, Coach, from year one here at BYU to year two and just your role in evaluating yourself?
Well, I think starting with I feel like I've grown a lot, mainly attributed to Kalani and Elisa Tuiaki. Just the autonomy that they give you and the trust that they have in you. You know, Kalani's approach is you're the head coach of your position. And so that autonomy promotes intrinsic motivation. And so it's really motivated me to, you know, really, like, develop my football IQ even farther, figure ways to better connect with the players, and also, you know, develop compatibility with the rest of the staff. And so I just feel like that's why I look forward to each year as a coach, because you're in coaching, if you're not getting better, like, it's going to show in the fall. And so also with the autonomy that Kalani gives us and the emphasis in really developing, like, that's another one of our secret sauces is just out developing other programs. And that goes for the players and the coaches as well. And so, you know, we spend some time in the off season really trying to reach out to other coaches and hear kind of how they're doing things and the differences, and seeing if there's things that we can do that fit our scheme that can help elevate us to getting better. And so I still got a long ways to go, you know, but always learning, always growing, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here. You know, I think we have a chance to do really something really special as a team, and again, it starts with the head coach, man. I think people sleep on our team right now, and our mantra, like, we're ready to shock the world. So that's what I tell everybody.
Last thing from me, Coach, and again, talk with Preston Hadley, KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. And, you know, when you say, you know, out develop other programs, I think of, you know, that starts with a lot of recruiting. And I know you've been a guy that's been linked to a lot of these defensive backs that are in the program right now. Has it been a special opportunity for you to be able to recruit to your alma mater and at a place where you guys are building, trying to build something pretty great?
Yeah, I mean, I think recruiting is just sales, right? And I think in being an effective salesman, you have to believe in what you're selling. And having been through this process and accepted the BYU challenge, I believe in what we're doing. And so I just think to be able to look a kid in the eyes and say, hey, you can do this, I did this, you know, and explain why, what they can become if they accept the challenge of coming to BYU, I think it's something you take pride in as a recruiter. And you know, we have great coaches who are great evaluators and see things that I don't think other coaches around the country can see. You know, guys like, you know, like Ed Lamb, Kalani, Gennaro is a great recruiter. Like, really all of our coaches are elite recruiters, because we are looking for a specific fit, you know. And I mean, we're all aware that it's just, like, BYU is not for everybody, you know. And so it's about finding the right guys. And it's been good. It's a good challenge. Every school has their challenges. I felt like as a recruiter, I learned a lot from my time at Weber State under Jay Hill, and in finding different approaches to getting good players in the system. Guys who might have fallen through the cracks or might have been, like, just overlooked for whatever reason, whether it's grades, whether it's just not quite tall enough, not quite fat, you know, whatever it is. But just, I think it's about finding a good mix of good football players and then guys who have a high ceiling of potential.
So. Well, Coach, good luck this season. Appreciate the time, and looking forward to seeing your safeties perform this season.
I'm excited for them, so it's going to be fun. So buckle up.
Cougar Tracks Podcast powered by KSLSports.com. Mitch Harper here. Having a great show thus far. Big thanks to Preston Hadley, BYU safeties coach. Very insightful conversation there with Coach Hadley. I got to say, Bo Tanner, hearing his name still in 2019, it's a big surprise. I mean, I'll admit, when he joined the fall camp roster, I was thinking to myself, man, Bo's back again. But there was a guy back in spring, after spring practices, I was sitting with him in the IPF, and we would see Bo Tanner after every single spring practice getting some training in every single day after spring practices. And this guy that I'm referring to, he's now an employee here at KSLSports.com, and he's going to be doing some great things. You're going to want to follow him on Twitter, at Kyle Ireland. He's going to be a huge part to our digital side of KSLSports.com, and I want to highlight him. And Kyle, welcome on to the Cougar Tracks Podcast.
Hey, excited to be here. I know that we've talked about this for a number of weeks now, and excited to finally be on the elusive, the the amazing Cougar Tracks podcast that I'm finally a part of today, and that's exciting. And been listening to you for a couple of months now, and it's a great podcast, so happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. I appreciate that. But yeah, you and I were there back in spring ball. We were working at another affiliate in the state here, a radio station. And after every spring practice, we would see Bo Tanner getting his work on in the IPF. And we're thinking, man, is he making another comeback?
Honestly, I'm surprised that he's back with this team. And the fact that the coaching staff is mentioning him as much as they are throughout fall camp. Either Bo Tanner's really impressing in fall camp, or there's a lack of depth there. Yeah. Those are the two things that I think you have to look at. And so hopefully, I mean, for BYU's sake, that he's just really impressive. I mean, obviously, you know, everyone knows from Bo Tanner's just talent level that he's a speedster, right? He's really quick. And so BYU can use that speed on the field. And so if Bo's able to kind of get that safety position down, he can definitely help out in that strong safety position. Looking to see whether or not, you know, Sawyer Powell has that solidified, and if he can be a rotational guy, Bo Tanner.
He's Kyle Ireland, KSLSports.com digital producer. Tell us a little bit about your background, Kyle, and I bring you on because you got deep connections and ties to BYU. So some of your career stops, where you've been, and your ties to BYU over the years.
Yeah, so I actually started at BYU. I worked for BYU Broadcasting and specifically BYU TV and also BYU Sports Nation on the radio side of things. Back in 2011 is when I started
there. So you were there at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy doing a countdown to kickoff and pre and post game stuff for, you know, basketball, football. I did some camera work back in the day as well. Really exciting stuff. I remember the rain with Texas and having to do a 2.5 hour pregame show for that. Just some really fun times there. And so I was there until 2015. And then I also, around that same time, was with the Utah Jazz, did a radio broadcast position with them. And for the people that are listening that are fans of the Utah Jazz, was working alongside Dave Locke, the play-by-play on the radio side of things for the Jazz. And had a season or so with them, and just really exciting to kind of work in the NBA environment. I know how much you love the NBA,
yes.
Mitch, and so that's a fun place to, you know, kind of involve yourself with sports. So happy to have done that and kind of, you know, expanded things out from just a college side of things, but also worked again, like you said, with another affiliate here in
ESPN
the market,
960.
ESPN 960, and primarily BYU sports there as well. But here at KSL Sports, going to be covering a breadth of things, everything from, you know, BYU, the Utah Jazz, Utah Utes, Utah State Aggies, Real Salt Lake. So high school sports as well. Just, you know, anything that's related to sports in the state of Utah and that people in the state care about athletically, we'll be covering that here at KSL Sports and KSLSports.com. So just really excited to be a part of the team. Really exciting to see the plans that KSL Sports has in the works. And hopefully the fans out there listening to Cougar Tracks can, and I'm sure a lot of them are fans of other teams in the state,
sure.
RSL, or maybe they're Jazz fans as well. So, you know, check out the website, all of our social media and whatnot, and look for some of those coverages on the other teams in the state.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. KSLSports.com. We're growing a ton, and thanks to you, the listener, the fan, it has been a huge success, KSLSports.com, and we're just getting started. Football season's going to be a lot of fun, and this BYU football season, Kyle, I think is going to be fun. This 2019 edition of the Cougars, I think, has so many probabilities here. I mean, you look at the schedule, you look at so many toss-up games. I mean, there's not many programs in college football heading into 2019 where you could say seven, maybe eight games could be toss-ups. This season could go a multitude of ways for BYU. How do you feel about this season? What's your expectations for the Cougars heading into Kalani Sitake's fourth year?
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point there with the toss-ups on this BYU schedule. You look at how they open the gate with the rivalry game against the University of Utah. I think there's a number of factors that go into that. Obviously, the rivalry, you can't really chalk that up game starts.
We were just talking before recording this episode, rivals host,
Jason Buck, a BYU legend, needs no introduction. Outland Trophy winner. He's still a little bit mad at me for only putting him at number 10 in my BYU top 50. He was a little bit ticked that he was behind Austin Colley and Max Hall. Hey, Jason, I love you, man. You're great, but you had to go at number 10 behind Max Hall and John Beck. I'm sorry. I had to go to the quarterback. But anyway, Jason Buck was saying that he liked what he saw from this team. He likes what he's seeing from the offense. He likes that the potential that this might be the best year BYU's had in quite some time to maybe knock off Utah. And I think Jason Buck's a guy that I look at. He's a guy that won't sugarcoat it. He's not going to mince words and just say, oh, everything's hunky-dory down there. He's going to tell it how it is. And I thought that gives you some insight into this team. Even though Utah's number 14 in the AP Top 25, BYU's got a shot in this one.
Yeah, Jason Buck's a guy who's been analyzing offenses for decades now,
no doubt.
And has done it at a high level, both collegiately and on the NFL side of things. So I kind of take that and I'm like, whoa, I take a step back with what Jason said, because I don't know if I felt as confident on the offensive side of things as he apparently does after talking with him this afternoon. So I look at BYU versus Utah, and you obviously see the strength of the offensive line on the BYU side of things up against Utah's defensive line. But you look at some of the question marks that both teams have. I mean, the specialist side of things, the linebacker side of things on Utah's part. But then you look at BYU, middle linebacker still hasn't been answered. Also, the strong safety position for BYU is a question mark to this point in fall camp. And then if you look at the offensive side of things, they still haven't determined who's RB1. Is it going to be RB1, RB2, or is it going to be running back by committee? I think BYU fans, the coaching staff, everybody wants to have a solidified starter at that position. I just am worried that this late into fall camp, you're switching over to game prep, and there's still so many unanswered questions from the BYU positions, where I kind of am hesitant to feel super confident about BYU's prospects to win that game with so many unanswered things. And you've only got, you know, less than 10 days now to have those things answered before you're facing a top 15 team on paper. And Utah, they're always going to put up a good fight against BYU. BYU's always going to put up a good fight against Utah. But you look at the talent, and the talent that Utah has on paper is greater than what BYU has. And so if BYU is able to find a way to take advantage of things like playing at home at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, if they can take advantage of a guy like Zach Wilson, who I think is really special, if he can utilize some of his weapons that he didn't have last season in the games that he played in, I think BYU stands a good chance in that game. But then you move on to the other games that they have in weeks 2, 3, and 4, and you're facing, you know, a gauntlet there of just powerhouse teams. USC, Tennessee, you know, in no particular order, are just really interesting for me to look at on paper. Tennessee is going to be on the road, SEC opponent. BYU has had success against SEC teams in the past, but Tennessee is under a second-year head coach in Jeremy Pruitt. It'll be really interesting to see how BYU travels out there, if they have some support from the fan base, but also how they take in that environment of 100,000+ fans up against them. And you look at a team like USC, you know, how they look after having a couple games under their belt. Is BYU in a position where they've already had a loss or two? How is BYU's confidence level going into that game? And then also, is USC undefeated at that point in time? Have they slipped up at all? You look at their head coaching situation as well with Clay Helton. Is he going to be the head coach for the entirety of this season? Is there going to be bumps in the road for USC? I just think that that's a really fascinating matchup as well. But it is in Provo, and I think that that's an underestimated point of BYU's schedule, is the fact that BYU does have the first three of their first four games at home at Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Much different than other independence years.
Exactly, and they are the only team in FBS who's facing four Power 5 teams in their first four games, but having those first four, having three of them be at home, I think is a real benefit to BYU. Even though they're facing such a tough schedule, there are pros to the schedule. They do have some benefits. It's just whether or not they can take advantage of those things. And then you look at Washington. Washington's, you know, going to have a new quarterback. They lost a lot of talent to the NFL this past season, but again, it's at home. I think that there are so many question marks for this BYU team. It'll all depend on how the first few games go to what the other games on the rest of their schedule look like, because if they can get a couple of wins, let's say they're able to beat Utah, let's say they're able to beat Tennessee, they start off things 2-0 and then come back home for two home games against some, you know, really name brand teams in the Pac-12, I think that BYU stands a good chance to have a really successful run. I think on the top end of their schedule, I would like to see, you know, BYU put things together in a way that they could have like a 9-win season.
Let me hold you right there. So, last thing for you, Kyle, what will be the win total for BYU this season? Because you look at some of the outlets, some of the national college football talking heads, and some are saying 8 wins, some are saying 5 wins. It could go a multitude of ways, as we mentioned early on in this segment. What if I had to put you on the spot right now, what's the win-loss record going to be for BYU in 2019?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say it's somewhere between the 8-4 and 9-3 mark.
Really? You're saying potentially 8 to 9 wins.
I do think that they have the capability to do that. It all depends on how they start this season. If they start the season strong, I don't think 8 and 9 wins is out of the question.
So
8 or 9 wins is out of the question.
9 wins, they got to get to 9 wins. What do they got to start off in the first 4 if they get to 9? 2-2 at a minimum?
2-2 at a minimum. 3-1 makes me feel really good about 9 wins.
Oh, yeah. No question. You
feel
if
really
you go
great.
3-1 in the first 4, you might win 10.
It just depends on, you know, if BYU can avoid the slip-ups that they've had, like against a Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't lose those types of games and expect to have a 9 or 10 win season. BYU in the past, when they've had double-digit win seasons, they haven't had those slip-ups. And BYU throughout independence has seemed to have roller coaster type seasons where they'll get a win against a Wisconsin or a Texas, but then they lose to a Northern Illinois. I mean, BYU can't afford to have that. They don't have a conference that they're playing for a championship. And so to be able to have national relevance all the way into November, you have to be able to knock off the big guys, the Tennessees, the Utahs, the USCs on your schedule, but you also have to avoid the hiccups against a team like a Northern Illinois, or on this year's schedule, a Toledo. You can't lose that game. And I'm afraid that, you know, until we see a few games under BYU's belt, we're really not going to have a good idea of what this team actually is. Because on paper, you know, a guy like Zach Wilson, BYU fans are really high on him, but he's only got 7 games under his belt. It's not like he's been a 2-year starter. And so even though he may be super talented, let's see what he looks like with a supporting cast of, you know, running back group that is, you know, supposedly healthy going into this first game, that has more talent in that group that he didn't have a year ago where they were banged up. And this wide receiver group, I'm really questioning the ability of the wide receivers, because the best receiver on that team isn't a wide receiver. It's Matt Bushman at tight end. Yeah. And so if Matt Bushman can be the guy that everybody, you know, down in Provo hopes he can be, you know, that's going to be a big weapon for Zach Wilson. But then you look at, you know, Moroni Lelapututau, and whether he's going to be able to play a lot in these first few games after not really getting a quick start in fall camp. I just think that there's a lot of interesting things that haven't been answered as far as questions on BYU's side of things, whether you're looking at the offense, the defense, you know, middle linebacker still hasn't been answered. And I'm just really interested to see how things kind of shake out over the last week and a half before BYU faces against Utah.
Well, the answers are going to be coming very soon against Utah, and you'll be able to read about all those answers on KSLSports.com. I handle a lot of the BYU content, but Kyle's going to be helping. Trevor Allen helps as a digital producer. We got a great team here at KSLSports.com, Madison Hinkhouse. So we're excited. Kyle, welcome again to the KSL Sports
family.
Thank
you. I appreciate it.
I feel like I'm so new that I don't know if I'm the right man to like say welcome, because I still think I'm in my first 90 days.
Hey, I look
here
at you like you're a KSL Sports vet, Mitch. You're a pros pro, and I appreciate you. And you know, we've been friends now for a number of months, and
it feels like it's been years,
and it's honestly probably going back to the fact that we just talk a lot of sports all the time.
Yes, we do.
And you know, it's like having your buddies, and you're talking in the, you know, the fantasy football league conversations, or you're, you know, going out to the Buffalo Wild Wings and hanging out with your buddies, and, you know, eating some chicken wings. I mean, We've done that. We've gone to a number of food places around Salt Lake City and down
in
Provo.
Yes, we have hit up Crown Burger, if you're wondering. Yes, KSL, it's a rite of passage. That Crown Burger here on Third West, oh my goodness, it's awesome.
Oh, excellent. And you got to love the fry sauce. I mean, the people in Utah, they are all familiar with the fry sauce.
Yes.
I'm sure that... I'm not talking about anything that Cougar Tracks listeners are not.
Well, we know our food here.
They're not foreign to the food, and so I'm excited to eat some food with you this football season, Mitch. We're gonna have to throw back a couple of Mountain Dews as well, because I know you love your Mountain Dew. So I had one earlier today, and when I went and purchased it, I thought of you.
Well, thank you, Kyle. Again, welcome to the KSLSports.com team. You'll be able to follow him on Twitter, at Kyle Ireland, and also KSL Sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. It's going to be a lot of fun this football season. We'll do this again.
Thanks. I appreciate your time, and it's fun to be a part of the Cougar Tracks podcast, and I look forward to working with you as we kind of put together an onslaught of coverage throughout this college football season.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. Big thanks to Kyle Ireland for hopping on in studio, and also BYU safeties coach Preston Hadley. Make sure to subscribe, leave a rating and a review for the podcast. It helps us out a ton. The feedback I've been getting on this pod has been fantastic. So thank you to Cougar Nation for supporting it right away. The reboot from the days of Greg Rebell to now, I feel like it's been a good transition. So the reboot's been a lot of fun. I'm excited. Football season's almost here. We're 9 days away till kickoff. Cannot wait. So signing off here from the broadcast house at downtown Salt Lake City, this has been here on KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.